In the name of Jesus, amen. It's possible for you to know something and yet not really get it. It's possible for you to know something yet not really get it. I'll give you an example that comes to my mind. You know, you are not supposed to use your handheld cell phone when you're driving a car. You're not supposed to be talking on it. You're not supposed to be texting. You know that. It's against the law. But when you're out driving around, what do you see? See people driving, talking on their phone. Sometimes you'll even see them texting. Might even be some people that come to church here. It's a temptation for us. We know it, but we don't get it. Until you get in a fender bender or you have a close call because you're on your phone, then you realize, I shouldn't be on my phone when I'm driving. Then you think about it differently. It's possible for us to know something and yet not really get it. And that's not just true of our driving habits. It's also true with our religion. We know what Jesus has done. We have the basic knowledge of the Christian faith, but it's possible for us not to really get it. In our epistle reading today, Paul kneels in prayer for the Ephesian Christians. He's praying for Christians. He's not praying for unbelievers. He's not praying for godless pagans. He's praying for Christians. So what does he pray for these Christians? He prays that according to the riches of his glory, God may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Paul prays that these Christians would be strengthened in their grasp and understanding of the love of God in Christ. And that raises a question. Why would he have to pray this? These people are Christians. They know the love of Christ. They know what Jesus has done for them. They have the head knowledge. But still, Paul prays that God would strengthen them. Being a Christian is more than just having head knowledge. It's more than just having the right answers to the questions. It's possible, and it happens, that people attend church services for years, and yet they really don't get it. They don't grasp what it's all about. Faith is not something that we can whip up within ourselves. It's not a matter of us trying harder. In fact, because of our sinfulness, there's a part of us that when it comes to the things of God, wants to go the other way. We know we're supposed to pray, we know we are supposed to spend time in God's Word, but, there's just other things I got to get done. I'll get to it later. But, I need to focus on this. And later never comes. And before long, we find that days, maybe even weeks have gone by, and we really haven't thought too much about God and His promises. All of that indicates our sinful nature is still a part of us, even as Christians. And God would call upon us to acknowledge that and repent of that. And here's the amazing thing. He still loves us. His love for us is not performance-based. It's not based on how well you've done your devotions lately. His love for you continues to pour out because it's a love that surpasses knowledge. Paul prays that the Ephesian Christians would have the strength to comprehend with all the saints the breadth and height and length and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. So what does that look like in the life of a Christian? What does it look like when a person gets it? Paul would be perhaps a good example of this in his own life. Paul had head knowledge. Knowledge that could be measured. Paul knew all about Christianity. He had an intellectual understanding of it. In fact, he spent a part of his life persecuting those who followed that teaching. He believed that's what his religion and God wanted him to do. And then Jesus appeared to Paul on the Damascus Road, and Paul discovers he's actually persecuting the Son of God. Jesus appears to Paul and says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." That's a pretty terrible thing to be doing, to have Jesus appear to you personally and say, "You are persecuting me." That's a very blasphemous thing to do. So what does God do to Paul? Does he condemn him for his horrible actions? Does he set Paul up for a life of pain and punishment? No. Rather, he reveals to Paul that this Jesus whom he is persecuting is the one who died for all of his sins, who rose again to give him the promise of the resurrection, that it brings him peace with God despite his behavior. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Later, Paul would write to Timothy, "This is a trustworthy saying and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who are to believe in him for eternal life." What led Paul to see the incredible depth of God's love for him was not how hard he tried to be good, but rather when God helped him to see his sin and selfishness, that in spite of those sins, God still had mercy on him. And so for you and for me. We don't like to be faced with our sin. We don't like to be faced with our failures. Makes us defensive. Makes us feel ashamed. God calls us to acknowledge that. He calls us to acknowledge that we might receive the gospel of God that brings us healing, because God will not turn his back on you because of your sin. God knows the worst thing you have ever thought, the worst thing you have ever said, the worst thing you have ever done. And he doesn't walk away from you. He does not turn his back on you. That's the kind of God that you have. We don't deserve it. It's not earned. It's a love that surpasses knowledge. And that's truly amazing. It's the way of our Lord. God desires to work that understanding in you. And he uses his word to do that. Our hearts are hardened by our sin. We think it's all about us trying to be good. And God would say, no, it's about you confessing your sin and then receiving the grace and mercy that is given to us freely in Christ. God tries to get that across to us. And how he does that varies from person to person. He always uses his word, but he also uses our circumstances, our situations. Sometimes God has to take things away from us to get our attention, to remind us that the things of this world are temporary, and our trust is found in Him and Him alone. Sometimes God uses challenges, pain, sometimes even death, to remind us that our hope is not in ourselves, but in Him who does and gives us all that we need in Jesus. And He's here once again this morning. Jesus is here this morning to remind you of His love and grace and mercy through His Word, through His Holy Supper, His body and blood, which He freely gives to us. And that's a love that surpasses understanding. Because He is able to do far more than we ever ask or even think, according to the power that is work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And assure you of that love that He has to give you that surpasses all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.